Good evening, everyone. How are we doing? We doing all right? Well, my name is Brady. I'm a follower of Jesus, and that's what we're all about here at Mosaic, is that we would be a bunch of people that are striving to follow Jesus the best that we can, which will be imperfect, but it will be fun to do together. Just a quick question. Maybe I should do a disclaimer first. I can see you really well tonight. So the yawning and the falling asleep, I just want to be very careful. It's possible that I can see whether you're on your Facebook or your Bible app on your phone. So just be careful tonight. I just want to warn you. But I wanted to know, does anyone in here know someone who has a really deep, like a powerfully deep relationship with God? You look at them and you think, wow, that's amazing. Anybody know anyone that's like that? Have you ever wondered, how did they get that? Like, is it possible for me to have that type of relationship with God? I look at certain people in my life, and I have at least, you know, throughout my life, and thought, it's incredible. I'm so happy for them and jealous. And I think at times, like, I can't get there. Like, I can't have that type of relationship with God that they have because they're a different type of person. Or perhaps maybe God loves them more in my darker moments. I don't know. But there is a way that we can all do that. Now, part of it is personality. Some people relate to people in a more emotional way, and it can seem deeper than other people, and that's okay. But for all of us, we have the opportunity to have a deep, personal, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. And the way that we do that is through the disciplines of the faith. Now, if you've never heard of the disciplines of the faith before, I'm going to give you a definition or spiritual disciplines. It's the means by which God has given us to cultivate intimacy with Him as demonstrated by Jesus. Let's say that together. Spiritual disciplines. The means by which God has given us to cultivate intimacy with Him as demonstrated by Jesus. What we did is over the last 2,000 years, we've looked at the life of Jesus, which we find in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we've looked at the things that he's done, the things that he has said, and those have become spiritual disciplines. So Jesus, he experienced solitude, he fasted, he prayed, he read his Bible, he had community, he celebrated. Like all of the things that you know about with spiritual disciplines, you can look back through the Gospels, you can find that's what Jesus did. That's how he lived his life. And I'm convinced that that's how Jesus, who laid aside his divinity, had such an intimate relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. And that we are called as Jesus' followers to follow in his footsteps, which will definitely lead us into the disciplines of the faith. So all of us who are followers of Jesus are called to engage in all of these. What we've done this year is every month we've looked at a different spiritual discipline. So we've taken a step aside from our series in the book of Matthew, and we've looked at a different discipline of the faith. And we started with silence and solitude, and then we did meditation and memorization. I don't know if you remember that, but Evan talked about it, how when he was going to work, he puts on the armor of God, and he replays that passage in Ephesians. It was brilliant. Carrie Ann talked about simplicity, and she gave us this extreme challenge we had these number of different challenges where we wanted to experience more simplicity in our life, whether it was choosing 7 foods to eat for 1 week, like you could only do 7 different foods, or maybe you chose 7 items of clothing to wear and you could only wear 7 throughout the week. But just these great opportunities for us to begin to practice simplicity. We did a study. Holly did study. We began to look through the book of Matthew. We studied through the book of Matthew that month. We did Sabbath, which is not something that we typically talk about, but that is taking a day and having a day, not a day off, but a day of rest. And that the qualifications are, if it's rest and if it's worship, do it. And if it's not, don't. But take a day where you're actually not just sleeping, not just being lazy, but you're actually experiencing rest. We looked at prayer. In fact, we took a whole month or more on prayer because we looked at the Lord's Prayer. We talked about how Jesus demonstrated to us how we are called to pray. And we looked at the Lord's Prayer, our Father. And God is a good, loving Father who runs to us first. Invites us back into his family, embraces us into his family as a son or a daughter. Hallowed be your name, God. Put yourself on display so that we might see you as you are and just stand in awe. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. God's the one that provides for us, and we need to approach him with shameless audacity. Forgive us as we forgive those. That we would be the type of people that our forgiveness mirrors the forgiveness of God for us. But that was prayer. And then we looked at worship. Zach talked to us about worship, living a lifestyle of worship, and then how what we do here on Sunday nights, it refuels us and it renews our mind to the truth so that we can live lives of worship throughout the week. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about the discipline of gratitude, and I can't tell you how excited I am about this. I want to start with 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19. It says this, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit." Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you want to know what the will of God is for you, it is multifaceted, but one thing we can be sure of, that giving thanks, rejoicing always in all circumstances is God's will for you. So if you ever ask the question, what's God's will for my life? Well, one thing I can know for certain, it is that you would rejoice always and you give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that sounds nice. Right, it sounds nice to be thankful. It sounds nice to be grateful. It's awesome. But what happens when, you know, it's Christmas and someone gives you a present you didn't want and your mom's like, what do you say? Thanks. Thanks so much. You know, I mean, is that the discipline of gratitude? Is it just kind of just saying thank you for things even though you don't feel thankful for things? Does gratitude even work when things are difficult, when things are hard? Like, what is the discipline of gratitude? And I tell you what, I'm so excited about tonight. And here's why. Because when I was planning the spiritual discipline series for the year, I was talking to Evan, and we were just talking about, you know, what it could be like, talking about just different people that had incredible experiences, being their lives being transformed by practicing one of the disciplines of the faith. And he told me about Seuss. Does anyone here know Seuss? She's incredible, and we're going to get to hear from her tonight. In fact, Seuss, come on up here. And I tell you what, Evan started telling me a bit of her story, and then I was like, I've got to hear this for myself. So I sat down with her, and we were at Earl of Sandwich, and she started telling me her story, and I was just blown away.
And my French cafe.
We were, but at first we talked about it at Earl, and then
you're
we
right,
met.
You're right. My bad.
Now, Seuss, just real quick before we jump into your story, the last week when I saw you, you had just changed your hair color, and you said, I got to finally go back to my natural color.
Yes, pink is my natural hair color.
Doesn't it make you love Seuss? She sent me her contact information, and her name is Seuss, and then a picture of a unicorn, Melton. That's what it is on my phone, and I love that, because that's the way that Seuss is. But now, Seuss, your story is, it's incredible. And it doesn't start with like rainbows and butterflies and, you know, pink and unicorns. Could you kind of let us in on kind of how things went down for you?
Yeah. Could I ask for that music stand?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Is this a good height?
We're iPad buddies.
We are.
Wow.
Never been iPad buddies with anyone before.
Okay, y'all. I'm just going to hop into it. There's a lot. So I don't know how I'm going to fit this all in like, well, I have a like clock counting down, and that's great.
I don't worry about it.
So here's what happened in the last few years of my life. So from 2013 until 2015, I just had a series of tragedies happen. It was like every 3 months, it was like clockwork, like, oh, it's been 3 months, something bad has to happen. I had 4 different friends who are all under the age of 25 die suddenly. One was like a random blood clot in his lung, one was a car accident, and 2 were suicides. And my junior year of college, I got diagnosed with anxiety and depression, and I started having panic attacks and suicidal thoughts. And then on top of this, when I started having panic attacks and all these things, then the guy that I was in love with dumped me. And I was just so completely broken. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Just these things one after another, where one event was like earth shattering and you thought, oh, it's already shattered. And then another would happen, and then another. And guys, there are months of my life that I just don't remember because they were just eaten by depression. And there was this period, like right after he dumped me, that was like the final straw where I just broke completely. And I would just lay in bed all day, going in between sleeping and crying. If I was conscious, I was crying, or I would be unconscious. And I guess I went to classes because I graduated college, but I don't remember. And yikes. Sorry, professors. I'm sure you taught me something. But yeah, I was just so distraught. I couldn't even eat. I didn't go to the cafeteria for weeks. Like, I would just randomly maybe eat snacks every now and then. And all day long, the only thing that I could think about was just how much I wanted to die. And I went through so much emotionally through this period of time that it pretty much wrecked my body physically. And 4 years later, I still have a ton of health issues, which is why my hair's pink, because I'm not healthy enough to work at Disney right now. And I'm seasonal, so I'm like, peacing out. So I'm like, okay, hair pink, that's great. But yeah, so I have all sorts of health issues now. I have chronic fatigue because I ran out of adrenaline. Guys, apparently if you're anxious all the time and your heart's like always pounding, you can actually run out of adrenaline. That's great. And I have parasites in my lower intestine. I have a whole bunch of weird stuff. I have radiation poisoning, which sounds fake, but it's a thing, I guess. So anyway, I was going through all this stuff, and I didn't even know what my health issues were because I was just a wreck. And I just felt so confused, and I felt so betrayed by God. Like, here I was following him, I believed in him, I was in Bible college, I was getting my degree in Jesus, people, and like, technically it was a Christian ministry major with a worship leadership emphasis and a theater minor, but that's a mouthful, so I got my degree in Jesus. And I prayerfully sought God. Like, it's not like, oh, I was depressed and then I turned my back on God. Like, my college had this like prayer room, and I would lock myself in there for hours, and I would just cry, and I would just beg God to heal my depression, because I knew that God could. I knew that he could. I'd seen God heal other people. I'd heard stories of like people being like, I was depressed and I read a Bible verse and then God healed me. And I'm like, cool, why isn't that happening for me? And I was just so confused. And like, as soon as I caught my breath from one thing, another thing would happen. And it just kept going on like this for years. And I somehow felt like everything was my fault. Mm-hmm. Like, I was too broken to love. Like, I was so much of a burden to my friends that in my mind at that time, I thought that if I were to commit suicide, it would almost be like a selfless thing because I felt like I was such a burden that it would be good for other people if I stopped existing. And I prayed so hard that God would heal me. And, you know, he didn't. And that's hard. But instead, God did something so much sweeter, so much richer. Because it would cost God absolutely nothing to snap his fingers and take away my depression and take away my anxiety. But God didn't do that. Because God, who is the infinitely powerful, amazing, incredible, perfect God of the universe, who never has to feel pain ever if he doesn't want to, he chose to live inside of me and feel every ounce of my pain with me. And God just wanted to show me that he's with me. God doesn't have to feel pain, but he chose to feel my pain with me. And that just always blows my mind. And For the longest time, like, I'd always been like the good Christian girl. I was homeschooled. I was an overachiever. I went to college when I was 16, and I did all these cool things, and I was the youth group worship leader, and everyone's like, oh, Suze is the good Christian girl. But all of a sudden, I wasn't achieving things, and I wasn't able to be that good, perfect, happy Christian girl that everyone thought I was, because good, perfect, happy little Christian girls don't want to kill themselves. So I didn't know what to do. And it was in this time that God just made the gospel so beautiful to me, because I had to learn that the gospel's not about me. And it's not about what I can accomplish. Because I think growing up in a Christian home and just being in Christian culture and going to a Bible college where I had chapel 5 days a week plus church on Sundays and all of these things, I'd just gotten so caught up in all the religious activities that I somehow forgot the gospel. And the gospel is not that we can work hard and be good people, but the gospel is that we are broken and Christ came for us. So during this time, I was going through all this, and I was the worship leader at a small church at the time, and it was so hard because I would get up there week after week, and I would sing all these songs about God's love, but I couldn't feel his love. And I felt like, almost like I was a liar, because I was up here, and I knew, and I believed these things, and I had these Bible verses memorized, and I had these theology classes, and I knew, but my heart just couldn't feel loved. And like, I would love to tell you guys that like eventually some miracle happened and God took it all away. But like I said, that's not what he did. And it was a long ongoing process that I don't have time to go into all of what happened, but counseling is really important. 10 out of 10 would recommend counseling for everyone.
Wait, why did you look at me when you said that?
Even you, Brady.
Yeah, no, that's true.
but counseling, doctors, it was a long process. And but I just want you guys to know, if anyone out here is going through something that's just really hard, or anyone out here has depression, I just want you to know that God's not afraid of your feelings. Mm. So we're talking about gratitude tonight, and you're like, wow, this is the most depressing thing about gratitude I've ever heard. But like, before we go into that, I just want to make it abundantly clear that gratitude is not about denying your emotions, and it's not about denying the difficult things you're going through. And so I want you guys to know, God's not afraid of your emotions. Go to God while you're broken. Go to God when you're mad at him. Go to God when you don't understand. You are 1,000% A-okay to do that. And
Was it comforting when you read like Psalms and David being honest and Lamentations and stuff?
Yeah. So here's the cool thing, guys. The Bible has this book called Lamentations, and it's full of laments. Do you guys know what laments are? They're whining. They're crying. Amazing. You like look at the Psalms, and half the time David's like, oh no, God, everything's terrible. I'm going to die. And like, to be fair, people were trying to kill me, like probably actually was going to die. But like, when you are upset, like you are in good company. Like Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, so you can remember it. Like Jesus wept. That's a whole verse. You guys just memorized a Bible verse. Congratulations. I don't know the reference. You'll have to Google it. Bible college degree. But yeah, so guys, God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, not in effort and lies. And I think that's just important to remember as we go into this, because gratitude is a form of worship, and it's not about us making up the effort and lying about things, because that's not what God asks of us. So anyway, we're all on the same page. We're all okay to be sad, just like Inside Out, you know, sadness. Had to like let people be sad. And she just sat there with Bing Bong, and it was so nice. And that's just, you know, sadness is my pal, and you gotta do that. So anyway, during all of this depression, There's this band called Ren Collective. I don't know if anybody here knows Ren Collective. Yeah. So they came out with this album called The Art of Celebration. And while I was in this time where I was just laying in bed crying all day, I would listen to this album probably like 5 to 10 times a day. Like, I'm not kidding. It was just on repeat. It was the only thing I was listening to. And that idea just stuck in my mind, the art of celebration. Like, celebration is an art. Like, music is an art. You don't just, well, most people, don't just wake up and be like, oh, I can play piano perfectly the first time I look at a piano. No, you practice, and you go to the practice room, and you bang your head on the piano, and you, like, want to die. And then eventually your fingers do the thing, and then you get your grades, and then you forget how to play piano after that. But in theory, if you're learning an art like piano or drawing or whatever, you work at it. And so this idea that celebration is an art just stuck in my mind, that I want to learn the art of celebration. And there's also this book called 1,000 Gifts by Anne Voskamp, and that was like huge to me, and highly recommend that one too. I just kind of like buy copies of it. If you're like, Suze, what's that book? I want it. I'll be like, here, just take it. I'll just throw it at you. I don't have any on me tonight, but I will throw a book at you. Or Evan will throw a book at you because he has it too. So great. But yeah, I read this book and it's about just seeing every single little thing as a gift from God. And she talks about things like she's doing the dishes and she sees the way that there's like rainbows reflecting on the bubbles and like viewing that as a gift from God, or like hearing the way that like a child laughs and like writing that down is like, that's a specific God, a specific gift that God placed there. So for the past few years, I've been on this journey where I'm trying to learn the art of celebration. So in 2015, after I graduated college at the ripe old age of 20, I moved down here on a college program. Any CPs? CPs? Yeah. Former CPs? I love you. Yeah, there it is. And guys, oh boy, it was December. And I was working 60 hours a week. And it was just that time of year where, you know, as Taylor Swift would put it, things were never worse, but never better, right? So, anyway, I remember I was standing in the Vista Way clubhouse. God bless Vista Way and all that have to live there. And I was on my phone with my sister-in-law, and I was looking, Samantha, she's here, I love you, and I had gotten this planner, and I was looking at it and all my plans, and I was like, wow, I'm working a lot, and I remember I was telling her, I was like, here's the thing, like, I'm so, like, stressed and discontent, and I don't like my life, and, like, even though I had gone through, like, a few years of counseling, and, like, I had gotten better depression-wise, I still was just so, like, okay, I'm here living my dream. I'm working at Disney. Like, it used to be my dream to be in custodial at Disney, and then I got into entertainment, and now I'm still not satisfied. And I'm like, why am I not happy? And I was like, here's the thing. I don't think my life is the problem. I think my life's actually really great, but my brain is refusing to see that. And so most people think of gratitude as, like, a feeling, right? Like, you get an ER, you're gonna feel grateful, right? Like, that's good. Like, someone gives you $100, you feel grateful. A guest is patient and doesn't yell at you, you feel grateful, right? So how can gratitude be a discipline if it's a feeling? That, like, doesn't make any sense. So, like, God doesn't want us to discipline ourselves to pretend to be happy all the time, like Disney might want us to do. But over the few years, yikes, I'm so sorry. That was not in my notes.
You're doing great. You're killing it.
So over the past few years, I've made a definition of what gratitude is. So it's going to pop up on the screen. Or not. Anyway, gratitude. Hey! Man, I am so grateful for all the tech people. They are the best. Give a round of applause for all the tech people. I'm so serious. They're the bomb.com, and people don't notice them enough. Anyway, so gratitude is the willful choice to look and see the specific ways that God is loving you. I like us all talking together, so let's all say it. Gratitude, the willful choice to look and see the specific ways that God is loving you. Oh, that feels so cool. So I have been taking steps in several different ways to train my eyes to see. Because my eyes don't want to see a lot of the time. Like, they don't. They just want to rush through life and grab and grab and grab and try to do this and try to do that and try to accomplish this. And they don't want to see, and I want to be able to see. So here's a few things that I started doing. I started using my weekly planner as a sort of scrapbook. Wow, there's a picture. Yay. Where I print out pictures. And if you guys are, like, not a creative type and this is, like, stressing you out, that is A-okay. Like... but if you're like, ooh, this looks fun, you can do it too. But I started using my planner as a weekly scrapbook where every week I stop and it's so dumb. It's literally just like cutting out little pieces of paper and sticking them on a page. But it makes my mind stop and look at the ways, like, look how God loved me this week. Look at it. Look at it. And it's just been incredible. So there's a verse, it's James 1:16, and it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. And guys, every single good thing that's in your life has been specifically put there by God. For example, I could spend like the whole night just counting ways that God is loving us this exact second. God is loving us by the fact that this microphone works and y'all can hear me. And God is loving us by how comfy those chairs are. And God is loving us by these lights. And you know what? They didn't like turn off earlier or whatever, but God was loving us then, because then we could see all of our brothers and sisters worshiping with us and engage in the discipline of community. Ho-ho. And God is loving us. Like, I could go on forever and ever just of the ways in this room, in this second, God is loving us. And, like, when I'm at home, there's this beautiful cat named Kenobi. Yeah! He's the best cat to ever cat. And guys, I could be like, Kenobi is a gift from God. But even more than that, Kenobi's like fluffiness, gift from God. The way that he like curls up in my pink fluffy bedspread and he looks so cute, gift from God. Like, I could probably count like at least 10 specific gifts from God in that one cat. And y'all think I'm a crazy cat lady, but I'm actually a dog person, which this is weird. But anyway. But like, guys, I just want us to be able to see. And I don't always see. Like, I drive my car every day, but I don't see my car every day. And, like, I eat food every day, but I don't really taste my food every day. And I lay in bed at night, but I don't truly feel how soft my bed is every night. And I want to train my brain to be obsessively grateful. And gratitude does not mean that we ignore the bad stuff that's happening, right? We went over that. We're on the same page about that. Like, we are definitely allowed to and supposed to rightfully weep and mourn. Like, when your friend suddenly dies out of the blue, you are not supposed to be sitting there going, well, God is so good, so it's fine. Like, that's not how you react to tragedy. But even in the midst of tragedy, we can look and see, okay, but God is loving me right now by this person who's here for me. And God's loving me through my brother who's just holding me and letting me cry in his arms. And God is loving me through a million different things. And God is entering into this pain with me, and that's the way that God is loving me right now. And it's easy to look back and see things like this. Like, I can look back and be like, wow, God was loving me when I was suicidal by having my mom text me every, like, 5 seconds and remind me that life is worth living. And it's easy to look back now and be like, oh, God was loving me when that relationship ended, because otherwise I wouldn't have come to Florida. And it's, like, easy to look back and see that. But I want to be able to see that in the moment, like right where I'm at, like right now when I am working 3 jobs and I'm too sick to work my 4th job, which is at Disney, and I have all these health issues. I want to see how God is loving me and like not be like annoying about it, like not just be like, oh, everything's great, because everything's like not great all the time. But I want to be able to go, no, God is loving me right now. And I want to see that. Yeah, no matter what's going on, God is loving you in thousands of specific ways, regardless of if you notice. Like when I'm driving my car, there might be someone walking a big fluffy golden retriever that God placed right there for me to see, because I am really happy when I see a dog. And regardless of if I notice it, God put a golden retriever there for me to see. And so I want to see it.
I love how you said you wanted to train yourself to be obsessively grateful, and that it's not just something that happens, that you began to practice training your brain to see all those things that God is doing, even when you don't necessarily typically notice them.
Because you will not naturally do it. Like, I did not naturally do it, and I had a chemical imbalance in my brain telling me absolutely not to do it. And so it will be really hard when you start. If you're like, oh, of course, like, you look at people who are grateful, it's like, well, yeah, but their life is great. Like, it's probably not. Like, they train themselves to be that way. But yeah, so some people think that those who are grateful all the time, like, aren't really living in reality. Like, they're off in their own little, like, I'm so grateful, #blessed, and they're like in their own little thing, and they're not really living in reality. But I think the opposite is true. There's another slide. I love you. I don't know who's back there right now, but I love you. Yeah, when we don't choose gratitude, we are ignoring reality, because reality is this, you guys. Reality, the truest, truest truth is that God loves you. God loves you so much. And so gratitude is what? It's choosing to see the ways that God loves us, right? So when we are not practicing gratitude, we're ignoring reality. Ah. And then there's another verse, real quick. And it says, "For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." And like, at first glance, I'm personally like, this verse doesn't apply to me, because it says God won't withhold good from those who do what is right. And like, I don't do what is right all the time. Like, I gossip, I stretch the truth. I don't do what is right all the time. So like, God's probably withholding good for me, because I don't always do what's right. But, guys, the gospel is so great, because the gospel is the fact that Jesus came and did everything right in our place. And it says in Colossians that we are hidden in Christ. So when God looks at you, he sees Christ. Ah, so in Christ, we fall into the category of those who do what is right, not because we've actually done what is right, but because Jesus did what was right in our place. I love the gospel, you guys. So God withholds no good thing from those who do what is right. And because of the gospel, this applies to us. That's so cool. God does not withhold any good thing from you. And like, this is something that I've been like running through my mind for like years, and I'm still like trying to grasp it. But like, there are times in my life that I feel like God's withholding from me. Right? So like, I don't know, probably like the amount of times, you guys know where like the audition space is, that like DAC wardrobe place. The amount of times that I've cried in that parking lot after auditions is a ridiculous number. And like, all these like audition sticker numbers, whatever, they would tell me, that's the time God withheld from you through that casting director. And, oh, Suze, you have to go to the doctor twice a week? God's withholding something from you. This happened, you didn't get that, you didn't get this. God's withholding something from you. But guys, God is so good because God knows everything. And he's good enough to not give us what we want all the time because there are things that I want and things that I still want. But God is too good to give me what I want because he knows what's best. And I just think that's so incredible. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't, like, still cry in parking lots after auditions. But, like, God is too good to always give us what we think we want in the moment because he has something so much better. So gratitude isn't something that we do. It's taking the time to notice what God is doing. And there's a lot of different cool ways that we can do that.
You guys got the slide up there before I even asked. Oh, man, I'm so grateful for you guys.
Here's a list. So I have my gratitude planners, and they're out on a little table out there if you want to flip through them. And be like, oh, I want to put stickers in my planner. Be my best friend. We'll put stickers in planners together. I'm so serious. I have like two friends who are nodding at me because I got them into this. And they have sticker planners too. There's an app for iPhone. I don't know about Android. There's probably a similar one called Gratitude 365. And it's pretty great because it's like a calendar and you upload a picture and you can like put things on there. Or you can just make a list on your phone and you can be like, this month, I want to find 1,000 ways that God was good to me. And you will be amazed, because the more you count, the more you realize, I can't count them all, because there's too many. Whoa. You can, like, set a daily or a weekly goal. Something that I do, whenever I am healthy enough to work at Disney, is I will set a goal for however many hours there are. So if I'm working, like, an 11-hour day, and that's a really long day, I will be like, I'm going to find 11 ways that God loves me today. And once every hour, I have to find something. Or I do entertainment. I'm friends with Chip and Dale. And so I'll be like, I have to find a way that God loves me every set. And in between every set, I sit there with my little journal, and I'm like, might have to be something really tiny. Oh, there was a cute little girl in a Cinderella dress, and she had the cutest little laugh, and I'm going to write that down. Because otherwise my brain won't notice. I have to like physically do something to make my brain notice. So do that. Set a goal. There's an app on your phone you can get called 1 Second Every Day. And that's really cool. You just like put in a picture or a video and it puts a little 1 second. And then at the end of the year, you have this nifty video. Basically, you're like making highlight reels for yourself. You can do creative journaling. Some of you guys have really pretty handwriting and I'm like really jealous. I'm looking at you. Yeah, you know who you are. And you can make really pretty stuff in your journal, and that's really cool. You can set an alarm on your phone. Like, every day at 3 o'clock, I have to stop for 30 seconds and find 10 ways God is loving me in that moment. You can come up with your own. There's so many different ways to practice gratitude. It's like a super, super practical discipline. So it's really great. Okay, one thing I gotta say, a quick little disclaimer, is count the ways that God is loving you, not the ways that God is loving others. Because sometimes that can get really messy when you're scrolling on Facebook and you're like, calls are going out for this and that, or this casting, or that parade, or this, or whatever. And you're just scrolling and you're like, they got a call, I didn't. Oh, look at them with their happy little boyfriend, girlfriend, being all cute. Okay, good for them. And then, like, you can very easily start counting other people's blessings, and then you start feeling like God is withholding from me because I want that. But like I said, God is too good to us to always give us exactly what we think we want because he's way smarter than us. Also, don't count other people's blessings for them when they're upset, because that's rude. Okay, like, that is just rude. Y'all are laughing, but you have no idea, like, how many people, when I had depression, were like, well, yeah, but at least you have this and that, and this and that, and this and that, and I'm like, great, thanks for invalidating my feelings. Like, don't use gratitude as a weapon to invalidate people's feelings. That's rude. It says in Romans 12 that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. If you can count others' blessings and actually be happy for them, fantastic. Like, be happy for them. Be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Be genuinely happy for them. But like, don't be like, oh, you're sad because your dog died. Well, at least you had a dog. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. But yeah, so my favorite thing about gratitude is that it is best friends with all the other spiritual disciplines, like BFFs. Like, if gratitude had a Myers-Briggs type, it would be an ESFJ. Like, it's best friends with everyone, knows what's up, and throws great parties. So shout out to any ESFJs, you're underrated. Half of you are like, I don't know what's going on. Okay, so I need to stick to my notes. So gratitude with simplicity, absolutely best friends. Y'all need to, if you weren't here for the message on simplicity, you need to go podcast it, because it's fantastic. Because when you're practicing simplicity and you're not doing a million things and you're like taking a break from social media or like wearing less clothes or eating less food, you start to really notice how great each of those things are, and you practice gratitude, and it's awesome. Gratitude goes great with generosity, because when you're counting all the ways that God is loving you, it's easier for you to give to others because you're not feeling like a deficit by yourself. Gratitude goes great with study. It's like a naturally occurring thing, because you're like, whoa, this verse is so cool in this context, and look at this exegesis, blah, blah, Bible college words. And then you realize how cool God is, and you practice gratitude, and you thank Him for that. And when you don't understand what's going on, and you have a buddy help you, and you practice community, then you have gratitude. Gratitude's great with that, too. You count, wow, God loved me by having a friend explain the scripture to me. Awesome. And prayer. Whoa, you can practice gratitude while you're praying. Two disciplines for one. Amazing. Same with worship. Lots of times when we're worshiping, we're practicing gratitude. We're singing about God's love just like we were. How marvelous, how wonderful. We are practicing gratitude because gratitude is seeing the ways that God loves us. We're literally singing about His love. Amazing. Two for one spiritual discipline right there. Meditation. Gratitude is meditating on the ways that God loves us. Yes. Fasting, everyone's least favorite discipline. You can practice gratitude doing that too, because you're like, wow, God, you are sustaining me and you have loved me through giving me food so much and I didn't notice, and now I'm noticing because I'm not eating food. And silence and solitude. Dude, in the silence and when you're alone with God, you'll see all the ways He loves you. Gratitude. Whoa. Sabbath. Oh my goodness. Sabbath is resting and soaking in all the ways God loves you. Gratitude. Whoa. And secrecy with gratitude. Also best friends. Because you can do gratitude without telling anyone. So you can, like, have your gratitude journal, and then you don't take a picture of it and post it on Instagram. And you can have this list on your phone, and you don't tell anybody about it. Whoa, secrecy, great spiritual discipline. Literally any spiritual discipline, gratitude is best friends with them. So, yeah, let's choose to see. And we, just like we learned in Inside Out with my pal Sadness, doesn't mean we're denying all of our feelings or all of the things that are going on, but we're seeing the way God is loving us. And we can go to God and we can be like, God, this is awful and I hate this, but You're loving me and help me see how You're loving me. Because that's something I need to pray a whole lot, because I am not there yet. But I want to be in that moment and be praying, God, open my eyes to see how You're loving me through this, because I know You are. And I didn't get what I wanted, and I have all these problems, and all these things are happening, but I want to see how You're loving me, even if it's the tiniest thing, even if it's this cat named Kenobi, and he's cuddling me while I'm sad. God is loving me right then and there. So let's notice how God's loving us tonight.
Suze, thanks so much for sharing with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Give her a big round of applause. Thank you. What?
I forgot.
Oh, you
one more
to
thing.
Share about your...
Yeah. So we're talking about gifts because God gives gifts to us. Just in case you guys are like, oh no, I can't see any gifts that God is giving me. Bam! I made all of you bookmarks and they're laminated. So you get a gift to put in your gratitude journal, note on your phone, planner, something. You have at least one thing that you can be like, oh, wow, I got a thing. Okay, that's all. Bye.
Thank you, Suze. We really appreciate it. All right, we are going to participate together in gratitude. What I did is I took, and as I do this, if the band would come back up on the stage, it would be awesome. But there's a Psalm 136. If you ever read it, it seems really repetitive, but it's awesome, especially when you think about it in terms of gratitude. After every line, it says, "His steadfast love endures forever." So what we're going to do together is I'm going to say a line, because I updated it to post Jesus dying and raising from the grave and giving us brand new life. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a line, and then I want all of us to say together, "His steadfast love endures forever." Do you think we can do that?
Yeah.
All right. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
He created us, formed us, and knit us together in our mother's womb.
His steadfast love endures forever.
He has pursued our hearts, wooing us near to himself. He opened our eyes to our sinful rebellion.
His steadfast love endures
forever. Amen. He paid the steep price for our sin through his death on the cross.
His steadfast love endures
forever. He forgave us and set us free from the power of sin and death.
His steadfast love endures
forever. Come on, let's come on. He set us free from the power of sin and death.
His steadfast love.
Amen. He has chosen us, adopting us into his eternal family.
His steadfast love endures forever.
He gave us and is continually filling us with his spirit.
His steadfast love endures forever.
He has given us each an important spiritual gift necessary for the building up of his church.
His steadfast love endures forever.
He has given us an epic purpose, allowing us to partner with him on his mission.
His steadfast love endures forever.
We're going to do this together. We're going to take communion together because there's no greater thing to do together as a community to remember the epic love of God for us. Jesus, the night before he was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Use this. Every time you come together, when you eat this, I want you to remember my death." And then he gave the cup and he poured it out. And he says, "This is my blood poured out for you. When you do this, remember me." So if you want to remember the epic love of God for you, the incredible love of God for you, we want to invite you to take communion with us. We're going to have three different stations. There'll be one here, and then one in the back to your right, my left. And just go to whichever one is closest to you. And if you don't come to church here very often, that's okay. If this is your first time, that's okay. If this is brand new to you, that's okay. If you want to remember Jesus' death and resurrection on your behalf, inviting you into the family of God, you are welcome to come participate with us. The band's going to start to play, and we're going to respond in worshiping God. Whenever you're ready, come up and take communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for being amazing. Thank you that we have an infinite number of things to be grateful for. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us in this moment to discipline our hearts and our minds to be grateful, to see all that you are doing to love us. I pray even right now that we would remember your love, your son Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. You're awesome, God. It's in your son's name, Jesus, we pray, amen.